And Yishai did a lot of original research, and he has asked me a good kasha, and I had written him a teres. I thought I would just share it with you. That is, Tosfos says in Kedushin that Dioraisa, we were discussing last week the issue of Perish Shavias can only be used for achila, for eating, for drinking, for sicha, for rubbing, right? You cannot use perishvias for anything other than that use. And not only perishvias, but remember the basic halacha, that if I take money and I buy perishvias, okay, I buy perishvias. So the halacha is the perishvias remain kadosh no matter what. They never lose their status. But the money that was used to buy them now has kedusha shavias as well. And that money can only be used to buy food for achila, shtia, sicha. Now, the way the Mishnah in the eighth parak of Shvias basically tells you that when you have the original peiros never lose their kedusha, but the other things that are in exchange move from item to item to item to item to item. So, for example, like this. If I take money and I buy perishvias, so the perishvias are kadosh. The money that the mocher got is also kadosh. Now, if he then uses the money to buy apples, that money is chol, and the apples have kedusha shavias. If he then trades the apples for oranges, right? So it goes from item to item to item to item, but the original pre does remain kadosh.
Right? So things in between don't have it?
They don't have it anymore. That's what the Mishnah says. Acharon nitfas v'ha pri atzmo usher. Usher meaning usher for any other use. That is why the Gemara says you're not allowed to buy. It's a strange halacha. It's a little short to me, but it says you're not allowed to buy peirei shavias from an Am Haaretz who's not Zoyer. Now, what is the problem of buying Peres Shavias from an Am Haaretz who's not Zoyer? Because since the money you're giving him will have Kedusha Shavias, and he will not necessarily know that he's only permitted to use the money for Achila or Shasia, he may use the money for transportation. He may use the money for lottery tickets. He may use the money for cigarettes, although cigarettes is not so kosher that you couldn't. But putting aside the health issue, and it's not so kosher that it could be cigarettes might be considered to be a form of achila.
He uses it to buy a table. The table in his house becomes kaddish.
Well, that's a big, big machlokas achrayim. The Mishnah is, okay, in other words.
I'm asking.
No, this is a very difficult question, and the Mishnah is really unclear here. The Mishnah says, for example, I'm not allowed to use Demei Shavias to buy a Behema Temeya, to buy an Eved, to buy Karka. And the reason is, you're only allowed to use them for Tzorche Achila, Shtia, and Sicha. But the question is this, what is the Din topic? What if I took either Peres Shavias Gufa in a barter, or I took the Damim, right? I sold Peres Shavias and I took the Damim, and I bought a table. I bought a chair. I'm not allowed to do that, but I did it. What is the status of the table or the chair that I bought? It's a big, big machlokas. It's machlokas achrayim. I don't think there's a clear discussion in Rishonim. According to the Perish, there must be earlier Makaris, but Mishnah Rishonim, it's a very excellent Perish. If you look in the Mishnayos, Zeroyim and Taros, in a big Mishnayos, one of the Meforsh, well, the same person, but in Zeroyim he called his Perish Mishnah Rishona, and on Taros he called his Perish Mishnah Achrayim. It really is one of the best, very, very thorough Perish. The Shita of the Baal Mishnah Rishonim is that if you use Shavias money to buy something that is not permissible, the money does not go out l'chulin. There is no kedusha on what you bought, but the money remains kadosh in the hands of the mocher. So that would mean the following. If I used Shemitah money to buy a table, the Shemitah money is still kadosh in the hands of the mocher. The table is not kadosh. I can use the table for whatever I want. But there is a knas in the Mishnah. This is the Mishnah. There is a knas in the Mishnah called Yoichal Kenegdan. I, because I violated the rule by using my Shemitah money to buy a table, I am mechuyev to take my own money equal to the Shemitah money that I spent, buy food with it, and eat that food b'kedushas shviyas. So you got this. According to the Mishnah Rishayna, the basic idea is, now of course that doesn't really help the poor mocher. The mocher is stuck with Shemitah money. Right? So according to the way the Mishnah Rishayna understands it, when I engage in an improper transaction with Shemitah money, the money that the mocher gets remains kadosh, so he's kind of stuck. The table, my improper purchase, does not have kedusha shviyas, but there's a din drabanan called yochel kenegdan that I'm mechuyev to take something equivalent to the money I spent. In other words, if I spent $100 of shemitah money on this table, I must now take $100 of my own money, buy food. This is drabanan. And eat that food, b'kedusha, with all the chumras of shviyas. This is the sheet of the Baal Mishnah Rishayna. The Chazon Ish says, and this is his argument, he says, the hanacha of the Baal Mishnah Rishayna is incorrect, because the Baal Mishnah Rishayna basically seems to be assuming that if something is not directly a meichel, it doesn't get kedusha shviyas. But that can't be the case, because money is not edible either.
That's the
Soviet
word.
Huh?
Also like dice.
No, I understand. Yeah. Whatever it is. Yeah, whatever the use is. Now there's the Mishnah Rishayna seeming to say that anything I get that's not directly eating, drinking, rubbing yourself, or dying doesn't have Kedusha Shviyas. Well, how come money has Kedusha Shviyas? So the Chazanish wants to argue from that idea that Kedusha Shviyas is Vadai transferable, even on something that's not directly achila. So according to the Chazon Ish, the money you gave the mocher is nischalel, it is redeemed on the furniture. The furniture has kedusha shviyas, and essentially the Chazon Ish says what yoichel kenegdan actually means is you're supposed to liquidate the furniture and with the money. In other words, as opposed to saying the furniture is fine and take $100 out of your pocket, essentially you're talking about liquidating the furniture and taking that money and eating it with kedusha shviyas. So according to the Chazish, it's not really a kenas. According to the Chazish, yoichel kenegdan is not a kenas. It is simply saying that when you are stuck with something that is kedusha shviyas, that is not directly edible or used for a dye, you gotta convert it into money or whatever that you could use it, right? So that's a very big machlokas. So that's a very practical machlokas. According to the Mishnah Rishayna, the furniture has no kedusha at all, and you're not mechuyev to sell it. You can use it for whatever you want. And there's a kenas, that's called yaichal kenegdan. That's the Mishnah Rishayna. According to the Chazon Ish, the table itself has kedusha shviyas. Now, I will qualify it a little bit. The Chazon Ish actually doesn't say you have to sell the table. The Chazon Ish apparently understands that the same way if you were to sell the table, the kedusha would leave the table and go out to the money. You could be poda the table without having to sell it. That's an important point. Meaning, so I take out my $100 and I simply say the kedusha shviyas should go off the table and onto the money.
It has to be the value.
Yeah, that's correct. Unlike hektish.
What if
right.
we got like a deal on the table?
All right. So this would be. So this is a very good point. This would be a big nafkamina between the Chazmish and the Mishnah Rishina, how much money do you have to take out? That's a very good point. Like the Mishnah Rishina, that the table itself does not have Kedusha Shavuos, and it's only a kenas because you spent Shemitah money for an improper tzairich. So how much money would you not have to take out? Only the amount of money you actually spent. So if the table has a Shavuos of $200, but you only spent $100 of Shemitah money, the Yoichal Kenegdan is $100. But, according to the Chazon Ish, that the table itself is Nitfas B'Kedusha Shavuos, so you are mechuyev to be paid at the table for $200.
But would it be only the amount of the table of what the original money was? Or the why would the whole table become more of a...
It seems not that way, because it seems that with Kedusha Shavuos, whatever is received in exchange for Shemitah money becomes kadosh. We don't say only in proportion to what you get. In other words, if I gave $100, I got a table, the table has Kedusha Shavuos. We don't say just $100 at the table. Right? So that would be a big nafkamina between the Chazon Ish and the Mishnah Rishina. What is, like, the Mishnah says, Yochal Kenegdan. What is the shiur of Yochal Kenegdan? Yeah. Another nafkamina would be, am I allowed to use the table before I'm Yochal Kenegdan? According to the Mishnah Rishina, I can use the table. The table has nothing to do with Yochal Kenegdan. According to the Chazon Ish, I would not be allowed to use the table until I'm paida it first, because the table has Kedusha Shavuos that is only Nitna Liachila. So it's very surprising that I could not find, I haven't extensively researched it, but it seems that this Shailin Halacha is brought as a machlaikas of these late Achrayna, which is a little mudna, that you don't find an explicit discussion in the Rishayna Man. The Mishnah says, remember, again, you need to be sure you understand this. The Mishnah gives you two halakhas, but it doesn't give you a third one. The Mishnah does say you're not allowed to use the Mei Shavuos for anything which is not Sorche Achila or Tzviya. You're not allowed to buy an Eved, you're not allowed to buy, that's one thing it says. And the second thing it says is, if you did it, there's a din of Yochal Kenegda. Those two statements are in the Mishnah. What the Mishnah doesn't tell you is, number one, what is the status of the money you gave the mocher? And number two, what is the status of the item that you bought? Now, those are the same question, because if what you bought has Kedusha, the money won't. If what you bought doesn't have Kedusha, the money will. It's the same question. But those are the two intermediate questions that the Mishnah does not beferish address, and that would be the machlokas between the Baal Mishnah Rishayna and the Chazon Ish.
The Baal Mishnah Rishon and the Chazon Ish, they were involved in this because there was a substantial amount of Yidden in Eretz Yisrael, so it was very nogeya, halacha l'maisa, for a certain amount of price of 30,000, 80,000, and they started to come in at 600,000 by the time, 1948. So the other ones, it's halacha, but it's a kleina, a small amount.
I understand, but l'maisa, now, if you were to tell me that nobody wrote Perushim on Shavuos until there were a lot of Jews in Eretz Yisrael, I could hear that. But Lemaisa, the Rishonim wrote. I mean, the Rash and the Rambam wrote big Perushim
on Masechta Shavuos,
but they didn't deal with this issue. So I'm not so clear why they wouldn't deal with this particular issue.
Does the Chazon Ish learn Yochal Kenegdan is deraisa?
He seems to learn Lechaira. He seems to be a deraisa at this point, because Yochal Kenegdan is nothing more than the chiyuv to be poda, something that's not edible, by converting it to something edible, right? And so all you're doing is being paid.
There is a chiddush, by the way, because
according to the Chazon Ish, I don't see why it would be a kanas. According to the Chazon Ish basically says, you did something wrong indeed by buying the eved or buying the furniture, but you're stuck with something that has Kedusha Shavuos. When you're stuck with something that has Kedusha Shavuos, you've got to convert it into a form of achila. It doesn't seem to be a kenas according to this, because you're simply doing what you do when you have money or anything that's shava kesef that has Kedusha Shavuos. Like the Mishnah Rishayna, it clearly is a kenas. Because like the Mishnah Rishayna, it's the money the mocher has that has Kedusha Shavuos, what you bought doesn't. So there's a kenas that you did something improper with that money, so you have to be yaychal kenegdan. Now, maybe like this. It could be indirectly. I think maybe the Rishonim are assuming. I have to look at the Chazon Ish inside. I'd like the Baal Mishnah Rishonim, because you are correct. Most Mefarshim in the Mishnah just say, without addressing whether the Eved has Kedusha Shavias, they say Yaichel Kenegin is Mitam Kenasa. So working backwards, if you're saying Yaichel Kenegin is Mitam Kenas, that would have a strong mashmais that the Etzem Chepes does not have Kedusha Shavias. So maybe by implication, they are assuming that the Mishnah Rishonim. How the Chazon Ish is, I have to see the Chazon Ish inside. How the Chazon Ish, I'm sure the Chazon Ish would address it, but the Chara, according to his longest, it's hard to see why it would be a Kenaz. It would be the normal thing you got to do when you have something that has Kedushas Shavis.
Any questions on the Chazon Ish? The Rav has to travel to the neighbor to analyze this.
Well, you know, the Chazon Ish is...
they've gone through it, that everything they went through so thoroughly.
Yeah. But you
know, they even have story about the Chazon Ish.
Of course. Somebody put together, this is an amazing thing, it looks exactly like a Mishnah Berurah. You have a Chaber on top, a Mishnah Ber Halacha. And what is it? It's a 50-page booklet about how to learn the Chazon Ish Smur. Klalim, Belimud, Sifrei HaChazon Ish. So we have basic principles, and a Mishnah Berurah, and a Ber Halacha, and Rav Chaim Konevsky even, he didn't write it, but he even writes on the side, marginal notes, Nachon, you know, whatever it is, you know, like if it'll say something, like, the Chazon Ish is the greatest posek, you know, of the past 300 years, Rav Chaim Konevsky, Nachon, is that Pashut, you know, things like that, you know. That's a different thing. But now how to learn the Chazon Ish. But the MS is, you know, the Chazon Ish is smart, are very deep. And there were times that it's brought down that the Chazon Ish himself couldn't follow. He says he would sometimes look at his Svarim, and he said of himself, he was holding in the sugya a certain madrega then. And he says he didn't quite follow. Now, of course, what that means, he didn't quite follow, it doesn't mean the way we just don't know what he's talking about. But the Chazon Ish sometimes said that he mamish himself didn't fully understand what he was.
According to the Chazon Ish, let's say he took this table, can he sell to somebody cheap?
No. The reason is, because that's a general halacha, that when you're paida peirish shavias, see, unlike Hektish, there's a halacha that you can be paida even hektish shava mana, you can be paida for shava puta. The peirish shavias have to be nifta b'shava. There is a din that has to be the shava. So you cannot do it cheap.
Is another nafkamina would be zman of beer, would there be beer by the chazon ish for the table?
That's right. That's very good. That actually is very good nafkamina. Now the din of beer with an ayin. The din of beer, which is normally in the eighth year, not in shemitah, right? The halacha is that peirish shavias have to be eaten. They're only allowed to be eaten kol zman. The equivalent peri is available in the field for animals. At a point when you no longer have that species in the sada, you are mechuyev to be mitzi from your bias. Now, there's a big machlokas, again, big machlokas rishonim. What does that mean? The Rambam is very machmir. The Rambam basically says that if you didn't eat peri shavias before the zman biur, they have to be burnt. Rambam says, Perish Shavias, after the Zman HaBiur, are also Madaka. This is the Shitas of Rambam.
That's not because he's not, it's because of a different Girsa, though, in the Mishnah that he has.
Yeah, I mean, it's based on that. But the Rambam Shita is that Perish Shavias, Achar Zman HaBiur, are Ton Sreifa. But we don't pass it to Rambam, and in fact, even the Chumran, there is nobody that is not like the Rambam today. It's very interesting. It's a rare situation. People always look for Chumras. This is one Chumrah where the Rambam is not followed by anybody at all. The other Rishonim learn that Bior basically says when you reach the date, now it's amazing, it's always amazing to me how we could be so exact about these dates. But they will give you calendars. They will tell you avocados are this day and peaches are this day and pears are this day. I really don't know how they know ahead of time. But apparently they come up with lists. They will tell you that you can eat apples, I don't remember the exact date, but you can eat apples till Hanukkah of the eighth year. Okay? Now, what does that mean? That means the following. That on, now not really before, you know, on or before the date of Biur, you are mechuyev to be motzi the peiros outside of your rishus and be mafkir them, declare them to be hefker. And they have to remain hefker until the end of the Biur date. You can't like, I mean, I can't be mafkir them during Shemitah, they're hefker anyway, right? But, and there's, I have to be re-mafkir the peiros. They have to be mufkir by the date of Biur. But then, as long as they were mufkar on the date of Biur, even if it's not the whole day, I could then be rezochah, reacquire, and then I could eat them forever. In other words, there's not a second Biur date, meaning as long as you were mufkar them on or before the day of Biur, and they were in a state of hefker on the date of Biur, you could be rezochah. But if you weren't mufkar on the day of Biur, then there's a kenas, even if you're chelik in the Rambam, there's a kenas that the peiros do become usher. So that's why you find, I mean, you often find in the Mishnayos a lashon that peiros are usher. So Bishlamo, like the Rambam, it means peiros after Biur are usher. But according to us, that Biur is hefker, what does it mean peiros are usher? It means if you weren't mafker then. Now Lemaisa, or Shlomo Zalman writes, that day, that if you weren't mafkir the peiros, bisman, they are usher, that is a drabbanan, that's not the din of Biur. In other words, on a doraisa level, you have a mitzvah to be mafkir. So if you weren't mafkir by the right time, you're mafkir afterwards. In other words, you were over on a mitzvah, but you just got to be re-mafkir, and then you could be zaycha. But the din, that if you weren't mafkir bisman, the peiros are nersarim, that's a knas. And because of this, Rav Shlomo Zalman brings tremendous kula from the Sefer Charedim. The Sefer Charedim says, since it's only mitam kenas, it's only going to be usher to the Baal HaPeros who should have been mafkir. It would not be usher to other people. Let me give you an
because
example.
It's on him.
Because it's on him. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says, if it's a hefsek merubah, you could be samech on that pesach. That's very interesting, which means it wouldn't be usher for other people to eat. This will be a problem you'll have sometimes if you have a bottle of Shemitah wine that you forgot about, then you discover 3 years later, or whatever it is, it is usher to you because you were not the mafkir at Bishas HaBir, but you can give it to somebody else. If someone said you can give it to somebody else after the Shas HaBir because the kenas is only on you. Right. You had, in other words, who was the owner at the time when there was a chayvas biur? So you give it to somebody else, and they would be a benefit.
You could give it, or you have to mafkir it first, and then they'd kind of.
According to this, you don't have to mafkir. You don't have to be mafkir. The question is, what's the question?
Because then biur was never
ever. No, you're right. You are right. Because since the araisa, because you can't forego the araisa aspect. The Daraisa aspect is that once you reach the level that it's not matzah for animals, you are mechuyev to be mafkirit. Now, normally, if you acted bisman, you could be rizocha. Here, you cannot be rizocha for yourself because it's usher to you. But so technically, you wouldn't be giving it, but technically, you would be mafkirit, and you would tell this guy that you could take it. Be mafkir with your friend there, or be mafkir anybody can take. I mean, if you want to do that, that's up to you. The point basically is, anybody can take it. Meaning, it's not, according to the Sefer Charedim, it is not usher for anyone other than the person who owned it. But yeah, you're correct, you would have to be mafkir. The person who owned it, Bishas Chayvas Bir.
Would it be his wife also, Ishtar Kukufo?
Yeah, that's Ishtar, probably Ishtar Kukufo. Yeah. Now,
not his children.
If they're Gedolim, not his children, yeah. Children are separate people, yeah. But again, he's right. It would not be giving it to them. It would be mafkir, and then they would be zochim in a hefker. Now, as opposed to the Rambam, again, the Rambam is pashut. The Rambam doesn't even give you the option of hefker. According to the Rambam, you're only allowed to eat peiros shviyas until the end of that day. Once that day passes, there's no hefker here.
Burn it.
It becomes usher. You got to burn it. But as they say, interestingly enough, we do not follow the Rambam at all. And I'll tell you, there's a reason why we're machmer on everything. Why shouldn't we be machmer?
The reason
is because, in truth, to be ma'abe peirush shviyas is an issur d'oraisa if they're roi v'achila. So in truth, to say I want to be machmir like the Rambam would mean that you might possibly be over on another issur, because since most rishonim paskin not like the Rambam, to destroy peirush shviyas when you had the option of being mafkir and rizaycha would be an issur of being ma'abe peirush shviyas. So this is a classic example of being machmir like the Rambam. You would be Mekel in another Isser, and Memela, if you have to choose, you go like most Rishonim. Most Rishonim do not Paskin like the
Rambam. Avoid the others.
Yeah. This is a big cloud. You have to be very careful when you're Machmer that your Chumrah is not going to be Mekel in something that's a lot worse.
Question. Yeah. With Kavod, I'm asking you, there are people who take all the other Rishonim, put them aside, and they're just grabbing onto the Rambam, the Yemenites. They don't follow Shulchan Aruch.
It would be fascinating to do research on that. You are correct. There were kehilas that were not even makabel the Shulchan Aruch. In particular, there were not all the Yemenites. The Yemenites themselves have different communities. That some Yemenites are makabel the Zayar. Other Yemenites consider the Zohar to be Abikorsis and Kefira. I'm saying, but all the Yemenites follow the Rambam, but the Zohar was a big issue among Taimani communities. Rav Kapach was a gadol of the Yemenites. He retranslated all the Rambam's Arabic Svarim.
Mishnayos,
Mor Nebuchad. Rav Kapach's grandfather was the biggest misnagid against the Zohar. So it'd be interesting to see if the Taimonim would follow the Rambam with Abi Beer. I don't know. The truth of the matter is, you know, nobody's a purist today. Meaning, even the Rambam people.
Assimilation.
In fact, you know, you're right. You know, there's a revival of Minhag Ashkenaz, of the old Yekki Minhagim. Now, for years, B'nai Torah were moving away from the Yekki thing. They didn't like the Yekki Davin. The Yekki did so many piyutim. Whatever it is, they say in the master from page 1 to 1,000, they say everything, beginning to the end. But for now, there's kind of a revival. There's a Kehilan B'nai Brak, there's a Rav Hamburger, who goes back to the Shorshei Minhag Ashkenaz, the old Minhagim of Ashkenaz, as opposed to Lita. Because what happened was the yeshivas destroyed Minhagim, because he took yeshivas like Belajan, Slobodka, and Mir, and you had Bachrim from all these different countries.
They went home. So
they created a homogenized yeshiva sheminhag, which no longer had the miyuchadik and minhagim. So yeshivas destroyed minhagim. It's a well-known phenomenon. So now there are kehilas that are trying to start it again. So the shayrish, the big shayrish of the minhagim of Ashkenaz is the Mahariel. Maybe you've seen the Mahariel.
13th century.
Right, it's the 13th century. If you look in the Ramah, for example, very, very often, the Ramah will bring from the Mahariel. Mahariel is the one who really recorded all the Minhagim. He's like the Bible of the Ashkenazic Minhagim. Even the Nagunim, the Mahariel even says, can't be Mishana the Nagunim for Tefillah. You know, the Mahariel was into, he was a great Pesach generally, but he was really, really into Minhagim. So somebody asked Rav Hamburger, who's trying to create a whole Kehila based on Yekki Minhagim, says, do you follow the Mahariel? So he said, around 85%, which means, you know, so even with the Rambam, you know. Now, it's interesting that, I'd like that to be something to look into if the Yemenites keep the Rambam sheet of beer. But let me point out that the Rambam din is a b'diyevet din, meaning like this. It's not the pshat that the Rambam is saying, you're supposed to leave over something that you burn. And that's not the Havana. Rather, the Rambam understands Bior like Nosar, by a korban. What is the idea? You're supposed to eat the korban before the Zman. If you're over on it and you don't eat it before the Zman, you're mechuyev to burn it. That is how the Rambam understands Peirush Shviyas. So some people misunderstand this. The Rambam doesn't mean there's a mitzvah to leave it over and burn it. The Rambam is saying the other way around. There is a mitzvah to eat it within the Zman that it's Matsui Basodeh. And if you don't do that mitzvah, so that's why what I'm saying is, the average Yemenite who follows the Rambam is not going to burn it. He's going to eat it before the Zman HaBir comes. That's the proper way of doing the mitzvah.
With the smart when it comes to like different fruits and individual veal that we don't know exact. I don't know if everybody's heard like that. There's a range of days. Veal, and then afterwards when you can actually like.
So there's a machlokas the Chazon Ish and Shlomo Zalman on that Nakuda too, because we don't know exactly. Some things they give you an exact date, but let's say it'll tell you. I'm going to make up the date because I don't ever remember any of the dates. But let's say it'll tell you. Remember all these dates. Remember are in the eighth year. They're not Shemitah. Bior is not a problem in Shemitah. Bior is a problem after Shemitah because there'll be leftovers in the field for the whole year. So let's say it'll tell you, I'll make up a date, that the Zman Bior of apples is from the first day of Hanukkah to the eighth day of Hanukkah, right? So they tell you within 8 days at some point. So what do you do? So the Chazon Ish says, you are mechuyev to be mafkarit for 8 days, meaning since it has to be mufkar on the date of the Bior, and you don't know which of those dates, so you are mechuyev to leave it in a matzav of hefker for 8 days, and only when it's yatsa hasafik, only when for sure the day of the Bior has come, then even if the whole day didn't go, you don't have that the whole day, you can then be rezocha in it, and then it's yours. This is what the Chazon Ish says. Rav Shlomo Zalman seems to say that you could be mafkir every day, but reacquire it. Meaning I'm mafkir it, because I don't have to leave it out for 8 days. I could be mafkir it first day of Hanukkah, take it in, and then the second day I could be mafkir it and take it in, as long as I know that it is, actually it makes a lot of sense. It's hard to understand the Chazon Ish Klora. The Chazon Ish makes sense only if we assume it has to be mufkir the whole day of Bior, which would then mean on the last day it also has to be. But Rav Shlomo Zalman says if the requirement is only that it be mufkir any time during that day, so if I have 8 days, so it'll be mafshach. If I'm mafkir day one and then I'm rizocha, so if day one is the Zman HaBior, it was mufkir and I was rizocha. If it's not, then I have tomorrow to be mufkir. Right? So the Rav Shlomo Zalman says, just be mafkir a minute a day. Be mafkir a minute a day for 2 weeks.
A minute before Shkia? Yeah. Wait a minute after
Shkia,
you already got 2 days.
You could do that.
Yeah, but Chazon Ish by Shkia says something. Why should it be by Shkia? It should be by Zman, literally the second that's no longer available in the fields. Why would it be totally on like the actual date? It makes no sense. It might be no longer available at 2 p.m. Who says that Shkia should be the reason?
Well, okay, so let me ask you something. Let's imagine, just for hypothetical, let's imagine you have an exact beer date. Let's say I tell you the day of beer of apples is the first day of Hanukkah. Now, what does that mean? Chazal were not koveya. So what do I do on the first day of Hanukkah, right? Even according to the Chazon Ish, right? I mafkir it on the first day of Hanukkah. Now, well, that's the question. I guess that's our question. Is the Chazon Ish saying if I mafkir it the first day of Hanukkah, I can't be rezocha till the end of the day?
Because it could be at any point, maybe.
So that's his logic. His logic basically is it must be mufkir till the end of the day. Now, you don't have to be mafkir at the beginning of the day.
Why does it have to be a little bit? I don't understand that a lot.
No, the Chazon Ish basically says you cannot be rizocha in the peiros that you're mafkir on the same day. Now, but he doesn't mean, but even the Chazon Ish doesn't say it has to be
heavy. What does he base that?
Well, he basically...
Because a person can say, I have some things here, my clothing, I'm putting in the yeshiva, I mafkir between 10 and 12, it's hefker. Yeah. Afterwards, you can't be. So the idea of hefker has, it can also be a t'nai in the hefker, but he has a special halakha like that?
Well, it's... I'm trying to figure out. In other words, the problem basically is,
if you have
a range of days, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, very simple, be mafkir on Monday, be zocha. Be mafkir on Tuesday, be zocha. Be mafkir on Wednesday, be zocha. Because Rav Shlomo Zalman is simply saying, on the day of Bior, it has to be hefker. Right? But the Chazon Ish says, no. The Chazon Ish says, you can't do that. The Chazon Ish says that it has to be mufkir for 8 days. So the svara would be the following. When we say that something is a day of Bior, we don't know the exact moment that we are Mishayar on this, right? It has to be Hefker during the time when it's not available for the animals. So the Chazon Ish's argument might be, this is his svara. If I'm Mafker at 1 p.m. and I acquire it at 1:15, what if the zman that it's kalal l'chaya is 2 o'clock. You see what I'm saying? So my a hefker before zman bir doesn't tell. It has to be mufker at a time when it's not benimtza for the behema and the chaya. So given the fact that this may occur any time during the day, the Chazon Ish's argument is it has to remain mufker for the entire period of Suffolk. As opposed to Rav Shlomo Zalman, apparently he says that, although Bior is a deraisa, but Chazal were Kaveya Bior based on days, not based on hours and minutes. And therefore, we don't go, I mean, it's like Nitna Torah L'Malachi Hasharis. The Torah is not Mechayev you to have an awareness of, you know, what's the situation at 1:15 of the day. Actually, that would be the Machlekes. That's no Machlekes. Again, there are details you have to go into it about what does it mean to be mafker for 8 days? Where can you leave it? I mean, even the Chazon Ish says you can bring it into the stairwell, you know, the Chedra Madregot. You don't have to leave it outside Mamish, etc. But this is a big machlokas. How are you Makayim Bior Lemaisa between the Chazon Ish and Rosh Hashanah?
Is there no, this is a Shenis Kolostik to know. The Chazon Ish was Nifter in the
54.
And then Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach had that data input, and then he went against it. So he's like a baser, holy chacha baser. In other words, he's able to, he built himself upon the Chazon Ish to be different with him.
Well,
so in other words, it's not like I'm coming out at the same time as him and I have machlokas. But he already had the data input, and then he came as a baser,
if you talk to Chaim Kineski, he probably would not agree, but nobody can argue with the Chazon Ish, basically. He says there was no one.
But is there a call like that in general? Like you're building yourself on the shoulders of a giant, but you are posing a door, so you'll be able to differ from it because you're coming.
Listen, when Rav Shlomo Zalman was a young man, he wrote a whole sefer being chaylik and the Chazon Ish on electricity. Right? The Chazon Ish's famous shita is that the opening and closing of an electric circuit is a malacha of bona and seiser. And therefore, even if there's no fire, even if there's no light, even if there's no eish, the completion of a circuit is an act of binyan, an act of building. The Chazon Ish is lashon. You're converting it mimaves l'chaim. You're giving it life. And that's considered to
potential
be
potential to kinetic bona energy.
Yeah. And Shlomo Zalman, as a young man, he was in his 20s, he wrote a sefer, a Ma'orei Or. Of course, he's very, very, very respectful. The Chazon Ish was already the Gadol Hador, and which he's chaylik in the Chazon Ish. He says the Chazon Ish, he says, is absolutely shver. He's chaylik in the Chazon Ish l'gamri in this. And the truth is, Rav Shlomo Zalman, if you want to know the truth, he comes out that unless there's havara like fire, he says the whole idea of increasing or decreasing current or opening and closing circuits is only a drabanan of mailing.
It's not
a deraisa at all. But in the absence of light, it is not a deraisa at all. Although he says, but lahalacha, he says, kfar hayrazake, which means lahalacha, he says, we have to follow the Chazon Ish. But the whole sefer is connected to that. The Balamor?
He's a very modest man.
Of course, he was all of Alakot. Rav Shlomo Zalman was a gadol who was very makubal among Dati Liyumi as well. Haredi Dati Liyumi, very, very.
So his Levaya was Klal Yisroel.
Yeah. Although Levayas have suffered inflation. I mean, Rav Shlomo Zalman was considered to be the biggest huge Levaya. It was 250,000. Now, since then, Rabbi Yashiv was 600,000, Rabbi Avadya was 800,000. It's more than double. But in those days, the 250 was a huge, huge Levaya. The Torah community was much smaller then also. So we have Levaya inflation, too, in that way. The Balamor, Rabbi Sirachi Alevi, the Balamor, who argues against the Rif. The Balamor is often very, very stark in his arguments against the Rif. The Balamor was 17 years old, and the Rif was not alive anymore. The Rif was the Gadol Shebe Gedolim, the Ramban, who wrote the Milchamas to defend the Rif, considered the Rif to be, when the Ramban says, Rabbeinu HaGadol, the Rabban needs the riff. So for the Baal HaMor to be chaylik on the riff was a tremendous, tremendous chutzpah. But nevertheless, this was kachi darkish.
Even to Yecholik, as maybe you pointed out, the introductory page to Igros Moshe, where he says, I'm writing this, but if anyone comes up with any logical sort of person as a Torah scholar who's basing himself upon Makoros, he can differ with me.
Yeah, gradually. Nevada, Moshe, in fact, is a tshuva. Somebody from B'nai Barak asked him, am I permitted to be Nayag not like the Chazon Ish if I went through the Sugya and I consider it, consider different? But I'm in the makam of the Chazon Ish. Am I allowed to be chaylik on the Chazon Ish? And Rav Moshe says, you certainly can be chaylik. And he says, the Chazon Ish would get a tremendous nachas that people are mefalpel in his Torah, and they may come to different maskanas, but kachi darka shel Torah. The Chai Yadam says, now there was a Masari in Lita that you weren't allowed to be chaylik on the Gra. It was like a thing. I mean, when people were chaylik on the Gra, they were attacked. If Gedalim said, the Mechilas Kavai Terazo, they would be attacked. They would be attacked. And the Chayei Adam was the Graz Mechutim. Their children married each other. And the Chayei Adam...
Avram Danzig.
Avram Danzig. And the Chayei Adam sometimes is Chaylik on the Graz. He knew the Graz.
Shvach?
Yeah, but he was attacked for it. He said at the Graz Levaya, that these people are Asid and Litin and Sadin, they are Maneya Nachas. From his mechutim, their moneda not comes from the gra. That the gra would love that people would do the falpil and they would come to different conclusions. He says they're going to have a din v'cheshbon for hurting the gra because they think they're standing up for his cover. He says, "Mama said it. Mama said it at the levaya." Because there was kind of a mesira in Lita that at least you were not allowed to be chaylik on
the. It would have to be that the person. It's known that the person. Has gone through the Trishan Chakira. Otherwise, let's say, for example, when something is knowing to be awesome, not the dog, Rosh Mokum Shemokim, it's a Mara sign that the person is not living up to a standard, then he's going and may be considered an Isser in the eyes of the people who see him, unless they know that he's a Talmud Chacham has gone through the study.
I mean, listen, obviously, none of us could be Chaylik on the Grah.
I'm not talking about the Grah, I'm just talking in general. If a person is Matu, that's the whole thing, like even if. Let's say that's why the whole thing of Mar Sion for certain things that you don't want it to be. But in this, people arrive in New York, what do they do? They stay at the airport. They're arriving on the second day up. They have to stay there.
Right. This digression about Bior, I wanted to get back to a main point, and that is a very interesting thing. How does the laws of Bior, whether it's the Rambam or the other Rishayim, how do they apply, let's say, when you took... Peira Shavias or Demei Shavias and you bought a table. So what is this man of Bior of a table? What is this man of Bior for money? So again, like the Mishnah Rishayna, the table doesn't have Kedusha, but let's say it's money. So we paskin that the Bior for money, which means you either have to buy food and eat it or be mafker the money or like the Rambam, throw the money, Liyam HaMelech, is based on the food which gave him his Kedusha Shavias. That's all. In other words, the money follows the food. Like the Chazon Ish, the table follows the food. So you're 100% correct. Like the Mishnah Rishayna, there would be no din of beer on the table. Like the Chazon Ish, there would actually be a din of beer. You'd have to be matzke the table. Now, this means, an interesting thing, if, as a result of all of these transactions, Shemitah apples, you wind up with non-Shemitah oranges, the Zman beer of the oranges is the apple date, not the orange date. You can only eat the oranges, if they're not Shemitah, only as long as you could eat, as long as the apples are Nimsa Basada. Okay, so don't be confused. You don't look at the beer as the oranges, you look at the beer as the apples. Because it all comes from the Kedusha of the original.
But the original apples also is still got Kedusha Shvias, but it's still
that's true. I understand, that's true. The original Kedushas never lose their Kedusha.
But how would you ever know? Like if someone's buying stuff
let me explain something about that. One more halacha, I'll tell you, then we'll have to break. And that is the following. The Mishnah in Sukkah says that when I buy Peiros Shvias, there are two things I can do to be sure that the money will not be nitfas b'kedusha shvias. And that's really important. If the mocher is an amoretz, who might be Nichshel. And anyway, you don't want Shvius money to circulate. So there are two different Eifanim you can do to prevent the Chalais of Kedusha Shvius on the money. And that is, right. One is Havlah, and that is, if I go shopping and I buy, let's say, Perish Shvius, permissible schayra, we're not, you know, let's say I buy it in the quantities that are permitted, and I also buy other things. I buy paper plates. Again, I'm using non-Shemitah money, right? I'm using non-Shemitah money to buy Perish Shvius. So if I just use the money for Perish Shvius, the money would be Nitvas Bektusha. But if I buy other things with it too, that's called Havlah. And by Havlah, we say it's as if you're getting the Perish Shvius for free, and the money is going on the other things. There is no Kedusha Shvius by Havlah.
Even if you don't say it, you're just buying
you
the stuff.
Right? Even if you don't say it, that's correct. And the other is Hakafa, meaning to say, when you buy Perish Shvius on credit, and you pay later, the money that you pay later does not have Kedusha Shvius. Now, Hakafa can mean the makolot gives you credit, like they have in Israel, they write it down on a card. Or, if you pay by check, even payment by check is Hakafa, because the money is not coming out of your account until the check clears. And certainly, payment by credit card is Bahakafa. So it's an important thing that it is proper when you're buying Perish Shvius, unless it's a Havlah transaction, you're buying other things, that you should pay by credit card or check, and that will prevent the money that the Mocher eventually receives from the bank. It will not have Kedusha Shvius under those circumstances. Right, those are the two H's, Havlah and Hakafa.
That's even if he receives the money still during Shvius?
Yes, absolutely.
So I can just like say to him, make a loan right there and then 2 seconds later pay him?
What do you mean a loan?
Buy on credit, and then just pay him like 5 seconds later.
I want to check if there's a share. In other words, clearly if you pay a day later, that's called Hakafa. If you pay the same day, I think there's a machlokes. If that's called Hakafa, bioso hayom. I'll check what that rule is. But certainly the amount of time it takes for a check to clear, or even a credit card to be paid, is normally a share that it is Hakafa, and that prevents Kedusha Shvius. And that's very important, because otherwise you're not allowed to give money to an Am Haaretz that will have Kedusha Shvius. So this is how you avoid.
Wouldn't the credit card be a problem that the bank, the money that they have in the bank, not yours, because the bank has given the money straight away. It's only the bank which has given you over the credit.
You're right. But even the bank is. It's a good point. But even the bank is Bar-Kafa, because
right.
The bank, that's what I'm saying. Even the bank money is Bar-Kafa, Kavuchana you later. But the bank. You're right. The mocher gets it from the bank, but that's Bar-Kafa you later. So that's going to be okay. Now the only thing is, a debit card would be a problem. Do they have to? Yeah, the debit card, Mitchell? I don't know, but the debit card that immediately, it's complicated.
Really,
I used to teach this years ago, so I already forgetting it. But debit cards are not really immediate. They put a hold on your account immediately. In other words, your account is there is a deduction on your account immediately, but the seller does not get a credit in his account until later. So the Emma says even a debit card is actually a Hakafa transaction, even though there's a freeze on your account right away. So it might depend. So you'd have to be mine in debit cards exactly when does the transfer work. But certainly a stock credit card is
banks make sure, because they want to have the money as long as possible.
That's right. That's right.
Same as a check,
that's right.
To keep it for 7
That's right. So they take it out of you right away, but they don't give it to him until later.
It's that they don't give it to the person right away.
That's true. They're machria all stakas in their favor.
They have more power than to have more guilt.
Din of Bior is that also applies to Oka Bahama and Sovim as well. Like if I got something else, so I'm not, there's a Bior. Like so, if I had like a dyed scarf, what do I have to do? Hefka the scarf, or I'm just hefking like the dye on it? How can you do such a thing?
Well, since you can't be mafker the dye, you're mafker the scarf. But Chari, you're correct. Chari, there is a chiyuv Bior on the on the beged itself. Now the only thing is, I guess the only thing is, there's something there's a halacha in the Mishnah.
Could the item bundle to the scarf in some ways? There's knicker with the tzemba, but it's you have a scarf. What if you got a colored scarf, a purple scarf, nice for your wife? But what have you got? It's a scarf.
Yeah,
the
good,
color
it's
is
a good question. I want to be mine. What do you do with dyed objects? But let me just mention, there's another halacha that might. There is a din in the Mishnah that even by food, where I'm clearly mechuyev to be mafkir, let's say, the halacha is I'm allowed to retain from my food mazayin gimel seudais for every one of my b'nei bayis. And that's true, like the Rambam, whatever your definition of beer is, I got to get rid of bigger quantities, but I'm allowed to keep for myself and for everybody in my house enough food of perishvias for mazah and gimazus, which actually means that when you have small quantities of shvias food, you know, you're talking not mechayev in beer because it's nichlal in mazah and gimel sudas. So I'm just wondering how that shear translates into something like a dyed scarf. But if you don't have, in other words, I'm not sure. It doesn't really translate into gimel sudas, but what I'm saying is there seems to be a concept that you're allowed to be meshayer, even achar zman habir, small amounts of things for personal use. So maybe that would be the aside of that.
There's a sport for that because it's shmita year, and you have what do you have remaining from the shmita? Do you want the family to starve now?
Yeah.
So they're allowed to have something there.
It's called mavur. That's why even with a bottle of wine, you know, yesh ladam b'zeh. In other words, let's imagine. This is a question that comes up a lot. I've gotten this question. People discover, they discovered now that they have a bottle of Shemitah wine from 7 years ago, 6 years ago. So here's the thing. Depends how much wine you drink. One bottle of wine, theoretically, might be Mazon Gimel Sudas,
Shabbos Kodesh.
Yeah. So you can finish a bottle of wine in three meals. It's not necessarily excessive drinking.
And if you're French, you finish it in one meal.
That's right. So that's the question. The question is, would there be a Chaybas beer on a single bottle of wine?
Only in the government.
It could be not. So that's the question. A lot of the problem we have to look into. Is it totally on the individual person? Is it totally on the Derech Klal?
Imagine Derech Klal, because just like this one beer is also Derech Klal. We don't say it's totally on the...
One is not necessarily telling you.
Could Rabbi explain what the Mishnah Rishonah would answer to the Chazanish's time? I think Rabbi said Yesh Lechalik by money.
Yeah, Yesh Lechalik. And that is, I think the Mishnah Rishonah would say that because money by its very nature is something that is used to get food and other things, so you look at the money as fluid, and you look at it as essentially royally achila, because even though you don't eat the money, but money is commonly used to get food, so we consider money to be achila shtia sicha, as opposed to tangible property, which you generally keep as opposed to sell. We don't look at that as tzorchei achila. So I think it's Yesh Lechalik. But the Chazanish is right. Again, the Chazanish says, hey, you can't eat money, can't eat tables. So if money gets Kedusha Shavuos, so a table gets Kedusha Shavuos. That's the Chazanish's taina on the Mishnah Rishayna. Again, the Mishnah Rishayna's Raya, which I have to see what the Chazanish does with, is why do all the Rishayim say, Yechol connected is Mitam Kanas? According to Chazanish, Yechol connected would be Mitam Pigeon. I'm sure the Chazanish must address it, but I don't know. By the way, you had mentioned that you sent to me the I had said a few times that the big machlokas of Shomor and Nevat are usher or not. So I had mentioned that the Chazanish says that it's usher many times to be mako. You had said you had seen the other way. The emphasis is there are stiris in the Chazanish. There are stiris in the Chazanish. The Chazanish does say, as I said, that Shomer and Nevat are usher, but there are other places where he says to be maker for the rabbah. So I do believe that in B'nai Brach they are machlokes.
Historically, it was
People in
Yerushalayim, in fact, when Shaul Lieberman and his wife died, they didn't have the proper food or something in the 1920s. In other words, Yerushalayim would be Mako. I'm just thinking historically.
Yeah, Yerushalayim
was
Mako.
It was always Mako because there was starvation going on. Only Yishlita, and you have to get rid of it. Yeah. So I think most, tell me if I'm wrong, that most of the halachas psuka regarding Shemitah in Yerushalayim was more of a Mako. It's not Mako because, and then Bnei Brak was a different thing. They were open there in the field. Here you had a closed city. It was limited.
Yeah.
And there was a little bit of
it could be, you know, just like Chazal say, the tzaras achreinus are mishakches as a rishenus. Sometimes the later tzaras make you forget about how bad the earlier tzaras were. You know, because of the Holocaust, when there were 6 million Jews, I mean, it was such a tragedy. People forgot about what was going on in Yerushalayim in the early 1900s on World War I and 1920s, in which there was mass starvation. Many, many Jews were dying in the streets. So, yeah, the Holocaust makes people not remember that, but that was an awful, awful starvation. I mean, when Rav Kook was miyaseh the Hetzer Bechira, which is because of the starvation, which is why, this is the old title, which is why people say the rabbinate should not use it at all, even following Rav Kook, because Rav Kook was dealing with an extreme shas hadchak, which does not apply today.
Yeah, but people, I think, that just came to me, a reason why there may be a reason to do it is because you have people who are not shomer Torah mitzvahs already, a lot of the farmers and the economy and everything, at least let them try to block from leaving Eretz Yisrael. So they're going to say, make an Isser where people will be over that Isser, try to find it's not extra for them because they're going to do it anyways.
I mean, that's the philosophy of Rabbi Netash Kach anyway. We want to give a minimal level of kashrus so that people who would otherwise eat treif are at least eating 75% probably kosher. You know, that's a harvacha. Even if there's a 25% risk, to eat 75% probability of kashrus is much better than eating that's why we don't rely, but the rabbinut is still doing a service. Instead of looking at the rabbinut as, you know, these irresponsible people who don't care about halacha, it's the other way around. Hashgacha costs money. And there are businesses who are not going to pay money for a Mahadran Hashgacha. They will pay for a less strict Hashgacha. And there is a cheshbon to say that there is a zikoy harabin to give less strict Hashgachas if the alternative is a zero Hashgacha. And that doesn't mean we should follow it, but it does mean that one should not be mezalzel in what is being done. It is a tayelis. That is matzil people from Chatoyim. The Rebbe deserves hakaras himself for that as well. Okay, let's stop.
That's what Yaakov, the Yad Chazaka, you told me there was... Who was it who you quoted?
The Rivash. I actually found a Mara Makafi, but I don't remember it.
It's okay, Rivash. I went to the shir yesterday. I didn't go to yours because this was yesterday. Yeah. This is Rav Ilson, and he spoke very strongly. So he spoke about something in the Second World War that the Chazon Ish, Chavetz Chaim wanted to make a tainus because of the tzoras that were happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then that was the Chazon Ish, and Rav Yosha Ber quoted from, you know, he heard from his father, and Rav Chaim went against the...
Against any Chiddush, right?
No, not because of the Chiddush, but because he said, if you're going to make a tainus, the tainus has to be, and this is part of his talk, it has to be done after... The result of the time is you have to come to a level of tshuva, you have to accomplish, and he felt that the time is with the way where Europe was going, they wouldn't come to the tshuva level. So the time is, his whole talk was about mourning, fasting, and achieving.
Wait, where was this?
This is this is called Avichai, maybe something.
But he also spoke at Beis Avichai?
Yeah.
Ooh.
The one in charge there actually is, the one who does the programming is a Frum fellow, very Frum.
No, I've spoken at Beis Avichai, and I'm not criticizing his
advice. But when he spoke, it's very interesting.
But Rav Wilson, I'm surprised.
Rav Wilson actually, when he spoke, I heard Rav Yashaber all of a sudden, and he went like, Achim! Because when Rav Yashaber used to give his drushes, he was screaming at certain things, at certain points. He was speaking about Rishonim and different things. It was interesting.
Yeah, very nice.
So he's giving one next week also, but you have to book in advance. They let me in without it.
You got connections. Okay, thank you.
So I'll get a hold of the... Thank you for looking it up.